Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome back to the IL Preps Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined once again by Ty Zanders. Ty, we are going to start in Detroit, Michigan, where you are on hand Sunday for Culver Military Academy's 8-7 triple overtime win over the Hill Academy. It was a matchup of one versus two, and number one held on to the belt. What an unbelievable game. How do you describe what it was like to be on hand for that one?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I mean, to keep it simple, it was just an enjoyable game of lacrosse. I think that it's, in many ways, it went as expected, but in some, it didn't. I think a lot of people, looking at the personnel, looking at the amount of Canadians, you would think it may be a high-scoring game, maybe 11-10 or 15-14, something like that. But really, the defense kind of took center stage, and that was fun. I think Culver started slow.
Why was that? I think Hill built like a 5-1 early. Yeah, it was, it 5-0?
It was 5-1. I mean, Culver scored first. Jake Stevens went down the alley. He's off to Princeton. That was about a minute and a half in, and then Hill just went in a 5-goal run. And you know, I don't know what it was. I think that Culver, when Culver goes on a trip, they'll try and play a couple different games. So on Saturday they played Central Catholic in Detroit, a team that knocked off Brother Rice the first time in 20 or so years, as we mentioned in a previous podcast. I'd imagine they played some backups a lot, you know, gave their starters some rest. But, you know, it's not easy to play back-to-back games. Not many high school teams do it. Culver did, and especially going into a game with Hill that's a game that's circled every year. It means a lot to everybody. It means a lot, you know, for national circumstances, North America circumstances, of course. So I was definitely intrigued just to see, you know, how tired are these kids? You know, how hard are they playing? And I think it just didn't, I wouldn't say that the fact that they played the previous day was the reason for their slow start. I think that they all kind of got the adrenaline going in pregame because, I mean, how can you not get up for that game? But he'll look good. I mean, Dylan Watson and Dyson Williams, and Billy Coyle and Owen Hill, I think, were the scorers in that first half. And then I believe Culver called a timeout and then just started humming, took care of the ball more. They had a lot of careless turnovers. I think that, to me, neither team really got going offensively, really got in a strong rhythm, and that made for a fun game. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun atmosphere at Detroit Mercy. I think the beauty of it is that we'll see them again at some point in the National Prep Championships in the Philly area in mid-May. But definitely a great game, and you know, no doubt in my mind, Culver's number one.
So you mentioned Culver came back. They responded coming out of a timeout. This game was available via live stream on YouTube, so I was able to get eyes on it. One of the plays in that sequence that allowed them to battle back and make the game 5-4 at halftime was in Alex Tatakis. Is that how you say his last name?
Tatakis? Yeah. It's tough, yeah. Yeah. He's going to Denver.
And I was super impressed by him. He's the face-off specialist, but has some pretty good handle and is huge, like a very like thick kind of, you know, I'm not going to go there, but like reminiscent of Trevor Baptiste.
Yeah, no doubt.
From a stylistic standpoint.
Yeah, he's huge.
And he popped a forward, got him a fast break goal in that span. So they went down into halftime down one, and then they were, you know, both teams traded a goal in the third quarter. So went into the fourth quarter trailing 6-5 as well. And from there, it was as nip and tuck over the course of the 12-minute fourth period frame and then into three overtimes that I can remember seeing. How do you describe the suspense and the tension and the anxiety that was kind of in the environment?
Yeah, I mean, I have no connection to either team, and I felt nervous. I'm staying in the sidelines alongside some college coaches who made the trip, and we're all kind of freaking out. You know, jaws were dropping. It was just wild. I think that I've got to watch it again, but I do recall it in second OT. I think it was Culver's Owen Hiltz banged one that looked like it went in. I think across the board, not to be that guy, but the reffing was was not pretty. It was really it was really ugly. I know both sides were a little upset, but definitely a high pressure game towards the end, and just really fun to be a part of. You know, definitely watching it on YouTube live was fun for many people, but actually being there, because there wasn't like a massive crowd at Detroit Mercy, just mostly some players from for the Titans and some parents, but yeah, just the beauty of a game. I mean, 1 versus 2 and a lot of Canucks. It was fun. It was a really enjoyable high school game, and I can't wait to see them again.
And Austin Madronic ended it with the overtime game-winning goal. It was funny because when the game had continued to kind of go along at that level and at that rate, it's almost like a hockey overtime goal when you know it's going to come kind of when you least expect it.
Yeah.
And not only that, but there were also like a tremendous number of saves in overtime. I think Hill had 4, I want to say, in overtime. And then Culver's Gianfricaro had 1 in the first overtime, and then he actually had a really nice play in the second OT, running out of backup to get his team possession back. But yeah, and then Madronic's game winner came off of a double. When Hill tried to double up top, he went to his left, swept to the top, and it was like a shot through traffic. Not one that you really even expect to get on cage, and all of a sudden went low or went high to low with the lefty finish and got it past the goalie.
And it was really good defense in that play, I think, and that's what I want to stress is the defense was stellar. I really like a lot of these Hill poles. They're big and aggressive. I mentioned how much they press out. I like a lot of them, and as I mentioned, I think it's an offensive minded game. At least you expect that when it's Culver and Hill. But the goalies and the defensemen, I mean, the Culver defense was just lights out. Between Kellen Duff, who's an Illinois product, you have Jack Parker. Bats Parker is a great 2020 uncommitted from the state of Alabama and got his first start and really excelled. I forget if it was late in the game or in one of the overtimes, but had a big cost turnover on Billy Coyle. Atop PG going to Cornell from Malvern Prep. Yeah, it was just electric defense and stout defense. I really enjoy that aspect. I'm going to go watch the film and kind of get a better sense because, I mean, as I mentioned to you when I got in the office today, it was like it was one of those games you're just so caught up in the moment that you have to kind of go back and take better notes and look at everything deeper. But really impressed the goalies, the D, Thetakis, if I could say that name properly. Once would be awesome, but really like him. I think he won probably 70% or so, and as we mentioned, just a big jacked meat stick who does a really good stick and won it forward with ease for the most part. But yeah, it's hard not to just enjoy watching Culver over and over the way they move the ball. But yeah, never really got in the rhythm they like.
Were you surprised by this result?
I wasn't. I mean, I think naturally when you do the rankings, you think the number one team is going to win. So I felt like Culver had an advantage, had the upper hand there. But I've seen Hill plenty of times, and I know what Brody Merrill's boys are capable of, and ball movement was impeccable. But I was shocked. I thought they would take advantage more with the EMO, and I want to, the laundry was thrown, the flags are all over the place in many instances, especially in key moments. So, yeah, I'm shocked. I've always seen Hill
and really get a unique evaluation on a high school player, particularly given that, you know,
that's tough to say. I mean, I would lean towards saying I came away with a stronger pick. It was huge. He was poised and played really well. And I think, definitely a lot of aspect, feisty, high IQ, in terms of communicating, goalie. I like him a lot. Really, really quick hands. And I know they're very pleased with him. And I think that I like Culver's backup goalie, Colin Moan. He's an Air Force commit, heading there next year. I saw Moan a couple times this summer with Sweetlax, and he was always making all those three 2020s are some of the better uncommitted sophomores.
And from a kind of notable, high-profile, you know, committed player perspective, I mentioned Madronic with the overtime game-winning goal. What was your take on the way he played overall?
He was great. I think that he's really good off ball, and you know, whenever I've watched them, he's been on. He's kind of a constant presence there. I saw him drop five goals against Gonzaga a few weeks back. So like what he can do, and I gotta, you know, sing some praises for Jake Stevens. He's off to Princeton. I thought that he was kind of that steady presence for them. Alex Simmons was guarded pretty well. I think it was Jake Saunders covering him, who's off to Richmond. So Simmons didn't really go off like I thought he would, but Stevens was really strong. Did not make many mistakes. I mentioned Culver had probably close to 10, 11, 12 unforced turnovers, but Stevens was steady and smart.
It was fun to watch. Definitely recommend seeking out that YouTube clip to for the rewatch. Not the only marquee result of the weekend. The number 10 Under Armour inside lacrosse, nationally ranked Victor squad, falls to Loyola Academy out of Illinois. The game was 7-6, and you shouted out both the defense for the Ramblers and Notre Dame commit Najee Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, to hold a team like that, it's the amount of goals that they did. I mean, Victor has a number of you know, high caliber offensive weapons. So to go in there, to hit the road and knock off Victor, it's impressive. I mean, it's cool to see from a lacrosse, you know, a national standpoint. You know, but gotta, you know, really say good things about the Ramblers, Rob Snyder's team, you know, to go in there and knock off Victor 7-6. Even though they lost the next day to West Jenny, one of the best programs in the country over the last 20, 30, 40 years. I think we know it's tough to play three games in 3 days, but to have that marquee win like the Ramblers did just says a lot about the growth of the game. Obviously, you got to shout out Timmy Hackett. He's a 19 going to Bryan. I believe he had a hat trick against Victor, Cooper Peraldzik, and Luca Lazaretto going to Denver and Princeton respectively. They were great in defense from what I gathered, but just the overall grit, again, to go on the road, to battle back from 4-1, to knock off a team that hasn't lost many games the last 2 or 3 years. Yeah, hats off to L.A.
You mentioned Taylor. He had the game-winning goal. What type of player is he?
He's a highly athletic, you know, strong stick type of player. He's played a lot with the Dukes Lacrosse Club based in Philly, but, you know, have some so-called ringers out there, and he's one of them. I like his game a lot. I love what Notre Dame's doing from an offensive standpoint on recruiting. You know, and I think Taylor's part of that, and pumped to watch him grow. I've enjoyed watching him, you know, over the years, largely at Under Armour and with the Dukes. But, yeah, he's a stud.
From a Victor perspective, Chase Erland, the goalie, made 7 stops. Joey Pezzamenti had 2 goals. So did Connor Keenan. This is still a really good Blue Devils team.
Yeah, it is. And I think, to be honest, I wish they could play a schedule that had more. I think they have that many. Pittsford graduated a lot, so that game doesn't have the same appeal that it used to. But you can't deny that Victor's loaded with, you know, high-caliber Division I commits. And, you know, we definitely talk a lot about their 2018s, but the 2020 class is really strong between Pezzamenti and Camden Hay. I love those two down on attack.
From a D.C. area perspective, it was rivalry weekend. Landon come away 6-5 victors over Georgetown Prep. Hopkins attackman Joey Epstein paced the Bears with 4 goals, giving them a big win. What was your analysis of this one, having an opportunity to watch at least the second half?
Yeah, I caught pieces of it, and I think it's a given. I've always been high on Joey Epstein, but each time I watch him, I'm, you know, more and more impressed. And I mean, he had this one move where it was a question mark, but he kind of hesitated and lost his defender. And, you know, keep in mind, he's being covered largely by Jake Giulieri, who was Notre Dame committed junior for the Little Hoyas, who's one of the better cover men in the country, quite frankly. So what Epstein can do against top defensemen, knowing that he He posted four goals. I mean, that one question mark was just filthy. He had another one where he stung a corner, and the ball, it had so much velocity that it just hit the net and just popped out a yard or two. And, yeah, I love what he can do. And I won't go as far to say that, you know, he'll be a four-time All-American. But, I mean, the kid broke Matt Ward's record last year. And, you know, for points at Landon, you know, Ward, of course, a Twarton winner. I think he broke the record by like 100 points now at this point. So for a program like that that has been littered, it speaks volumes about what Joey can do. And I've heard great things about the kind of worker that he is. So always enjoyable to watch him play. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do at Homewood Field the next 4 years.
St. Albans coming away with a 13-11 win over St. Stephen's St. Agnes, as I mentioned, rounding out that D.C. area scene from last Friday. Boys Latin 8, Calvert Hall 5. What's that mean for the MIAA?
Yeah, I mean, just another result that you know, people may not have predicted after BL lost to D.C. and Baltimore. There's a lot of it. So, yeah, I think Calvert Hall never really got into rhythm offensively. As I mentioned, had a really tough last couple games. They lost 12-6 to Loyola and then lost with 2 or 3 seconds left to McDonough the previous Friday. So from what I gathered, BL just had the best practice of the year on Wednesday. Really hard. And, you know, Coach Farrell said that they looked really good in practice, and that kind of set the tone for the rest of the week. So, yeah, I mean, BL looked good. And Calvert Hall, a lot of individual talent, but I think they're still working out some kinks. A little selfish. And I mean, I know we both love Dave Huntley, and Hunt's meant a really good job. So I'd expect Calvert Hall to be in the mix along with several other teams from Baltimore, and definitely, you know, got to give St. Mary's a shout out in Annapolis.
Continued comes away with a 12-9 win over Malvern Prep. Matt Chandick was on site. 5 players. TJ Malone had 5 goals and an assist for the Fords. You know, I was critical of the front. You know, this doesn't come as a huge surprise. I've been impressed by what I've seen out of Haverford, aside from that St. Anthony's result so far this season.
They're a constant no matter how much they graduate. You know, TJ Malone, I think, is every year there's like that one kid that everyone talks about that's heading to play Division III lacrosse that definitely had some options in D1, but wanted to get a good mix of academics and athletics. And a few years ago it was Colin Minicus, who is now at Amherst. So Malone is that, and you know, it sounds like he went off, and I'm gonna try and watch Haverford for the next few weeks. But another impressive win for Haverford. I think it's I'm sure they'd like to find a little bit more consistency going forward, but this is one of the years where they'll only play Malvern in the regular season just once. You know, I think you can expect them to maybe match up later in the playoffs. But, yeah, big win, you know, for the Fords. And Malvern has had a couple tough losses, but as I mentioned, we'll be in the mix.
Continuing up 95, this time to Fairfield County, Dan Arestia was on site for St. Anthony's 16-7 victory over New Canaan. You know, there were some knowns in this one that emerged as important pieces. Brennan O'Neill, the sophomore lefty attackman, certainly among them. But a couple of emerging impressive performances as well, particularly at the face-off X. For St. Anthony's, to me, this just continues to present a season that is really coming together after an early season setback.
Yeah, and they've had a few tough losses over the years to Chaminade in the championship and didn't play the championship last year. So, you know, I'm sure that has affected them, you know, knowing they couldn't finish the season in the manner in which they usually do. And they look great, you know, from what I've gathered. You know, a couple of my sources up in Long Island have said really good things about them. And, I mean, how can you not explode offensively from time to time when you have Brendan O'Neill running the show? But I think you have to give a lot of credit as well. As you mentioned, the face-off guys are really strong. And a kid who I think has continued to get better, and I can't say enough about him, Aiden Denenza. He's uncommitted, 2020, plays for that vaunted Team 91 Crush team. He will probably go anywhere he wants. You know, I've heard a couple rumblings of of the teams he was looking at before the rules changed. But, you know, the high academic, high lacrosse schools, Yale, Notre Dame, Duke, everybody will want to get in the mix with him, and he's had a couple of great games.
What do you think of the junior long stick Greg Campisi committed to Harvard?
I like him. He's active. He's athletic. I know he's a great quarterback for the Friars football team. Just kind of gets his stick in the passing lanes and is just a high motor, great athlete. You know, I think he's still improving from a coverability standpoint. But I think he just shows these flashes from time to time. You can always you know that by watching him for like 5 minutes. Okay, that's a top 25 player. That is one of the best players in the country, and he provides that.
The Friars have that matchup against the Flyers on Wednesday, one that we'll be sure to get eyes on. Chaminade St. Anthony's obviously a big one, not the only big game on Long Island this week. Ty, what else should fans have on their radar?
Yeah, I think Ward Melville and Smithtown West will be a game in Three Village that the people want to get to in Suffolk County, and that's always a good one. I think that I love that league. I know I always try and get up to see games in Suffolk, to see, you know, Chaminade St. Anthony's. I think that's the one that people want to get to. Really talented squads. Many people thought that the Half Hollow Hills East Ward Melville game might be a trap game for the Patriots, and they lost 7-6. They re-ranked them number 4 in the country, so we'll have to change that up on Wednesday. But I always speak about how some of these big Wednesday games, they really annoy me, Terry. I think that when you spend a lot of Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, putting together top 25, you don't always want upsets. But it's a lose-lose in a sense, because I think all four teams that we just mentioned will find their way into the rankings, and should be fun games on Long Island on Wednesday.
Certainly a lot to come in the high school world on InsideLacrosse.com this week. I mentioned, check out Matt Chandick's story about Haverford's win over Malvern and Dan Arestia's story of St. Anthony's win over New Canaan. Make sure to head to the Inside Lacrosse High School scoreboard. We've got 17,000 games in that right now. Still need scores for a couple hundred of them. So if you spot your squad, make sure that you become a contributor and put your score in there. Follow Ty on Twitter. And are you promoting Instagram? Is that something that is that a place people follow you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess you just did, so yeah. I'll take it.
There you go. And make sure to check back to InsideLacrosse.com on Wednesday for an updated Under Armour Inside Lacrosse Power Rankings. Thank you for listening. As always, if you like what you heard, leave a rating and a review. And we will be back with more IL Press Podcasts next week.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.